The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark. I'm telling you, it was another busy week this week. Just every week seems to be better or worse, depending on how you're looking at it, whether you're blue shoes or red shoes. I guess it's neither. And also, the Supreme Court was busy at work this week, finishing up their term and effectively adjourning. And of course, as usual, they gave you the decisions that the right hates, the left hates. But is, what is the Constitution? You either hate it or love it. That's the problem with the Constitution. So, without any further delay, you know, we're sitting here up in New York live broadcasting. We have an air quality alert, which means we're all dying. Our eyes are burning. Our breath is short. But they tell you, no problem. No problem at all.
And you know, we're gonna fix everything.
Yeah. The green energy. All the green energy. It's working well. You know? So without any further ado, let me jump right into rhyme time for you. The Pledge of Allegiance is a solemn vow, recited by many both then and now. But what does it mean, this oath we proclaim? And why is it vital for America's eternal flame? In every classroom, it must again begin the day. With voices united, we must all stand and say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, a reminder of our unity. It shouldn't be so esoteric. With hand over heart, we must honor this land, a symbol of freedom where dreams live and expand. The flag with its colors so bold and bright symbolize our values in infamous red, blue, and white. The first line speaks of our allegiance to a nation built on rebelling against values of grievance, to support and defend through thick and thin, to cherish the ideals that lie deep within. The pledge signifies a commitment so profound to a nation where liberty and justice held high resound, a promise to uphold where unwavering pride, the principles on which America's strength has always been tied, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. These words echo loudly. They stand so tall. Indivisible, united we stand. No division shall weaken us in this noble land. Liberty, a precious gift we must embrace. The freedom to speak, to live and seek our own space. To pursue our dreams without any limitation. For every citizen, now without discrimination. Justice, the foundation of a fair society. Equality and fairness, these pillars should not create anxiety. To ensure each voice is heard and seen. No bias, no prejudice. Treating all as a king or queen. The Pledge of Allegiance is a reminder so clear that our strength lies in unity and never in fear. For America to strive to flourish and grow, we must come together, let our shared values again show. In a time when division seeks everywhere to erode, the pledge unites us. Let's come home, make it a sturdy abode. It binds us in purpose and a common ground to bridge the gaps where harmony should be found. The pledge teaches us the power of loyalty to a cause, to stand by our nation with unwavering applause, to protect the honor in our duty to fulfill, to preserve the ideals that today inspire us still. For America to survive, the pledge is critical to say, a call to action, a reminder so crucial, it must be every day. It strengthens the fabric of this, our diverse nation, fostering unity from the world deep admiration. In reciting the pledge, we teach our youth the value that's defined, we the people, the essence of truth. Then we must be one nation bound by a shared creed, a beacon of hope, and the world a guiding light indeed. So let us hold dear the Pledge of Allegiance, a symbol of unity we should hold with deep reverence. For in its words lie the heart of our land, a reminder of this great promise, hand in hand. The meaning of the pledge so proud, so profound, to honor the past while embracing this holy ground, to stand together for a brighter tomorrow, for America to survive in harmony we must not borrow. Let us not forget the pledge we all make to America, our home, for it's all our sake. For in allegiance lies the strength that we need to ensure America's survival. We must again take the lead. In a land once hailed as a beacon of hope, where dreams took flight and ambitions could cope, lies a tale of woe, a somber refrain of how America's future is shackled by Biden with a chain. Oh, America, land of the brave and free, your decline, alas, is plain for all now to see. We were once a nation thriving, a force to be reckoned, now drowning in shadows its future. We before, we never second. Education, once a prized cornerstone, now crumbling, neglected, our students left all alone. The youth, the heartbeat of America's dawn, left behind their potential, now fully withdrawn. Schools starved for resources, teachers underpaid. Inequity rampant, a system they have betrayed. Opportunities scarce, dreams left unfulfilled. The promise of education, now uselessly distilled. A nation divided, torn at its core. Political strife, a never-ending war. Unity shattered, hope in disarray. A future now uncertain, so darkness holds sway. Innovation, once America's pride, now stifled, suppressed, just tossed aside. As other nations surge ahead with their might, we languish in apathy, blinded by the democratic night. Technology advances, the world moves fast, but America's grasp on progress at this pace won't last. Once leaders in industry and champions of might, now left behind in the world, a dim, fading light. Manufacturing jobs, once the backbone of old, now lost to outsourcing, many stories untold. Communities shattered, families torn. An economic struggle, America's should mourn. Environmental woes, a planet in pain, as greed and consumption reign throughout with disdain. The future of our earth, they say we created an imbalance. Yet our short-sighted policies persist. No one's asked Alice. Inequality festers, a cancerous blight. A chasm widening, casting shadows on our shining light. The wealthy have grown richer, the poor simply left behind. Now an unjust society, compassion disappeared. Has it been by design? Healthcare, a right denied to so many, a privilege for few, a burden. It's so uncanny. Lives hanging in the balance, the vulnerable left weak. In a nation of plenty, compassion, is that what we seek? Oh, America, wake up from our slumber. Reclaim our future. Don't let our spirit fade, a major blunder. It's time to rise, to mend the broken seams, to rebuild, to reinvent, to rediscover our dreams. Invest in our education, empower our youth. Nurture their talents, and darn, provide them with the truth. Unite them as one, bridge the apparent divide. Embrace reality, diversity, and let meritocracy and meritorious unity preside. Embrace innovation, unlock the gates. Let creativity again flourish. Let progress choose its own fates. Leading with purpose, reclaim our might. Illuminate the darkness, restore that American light. Let's protect the earth, be stewards of our lands. For it's our duty in our hands, it stands. Can we address real inequality or bridge the divide? Ensure real justice? Can compassion with it coincide? America, wake up, for the future never guaranteed. Is it here? A journey awaits us, but with hope, as I see it, with Biden filled with fear. Let's reclaim our destiny, our promise before so bright, and forge a path forward, for that under Democrats, the chance is so slight. On the fourth day of July in days of old, a nation was born, our story untold. A land of free where dreams could ignite, but now a solemn truth takes its flight. Oh, America has hailed as a beacon of light. Your last birthday approaches, a somber sight. For the values once cherished now fade, as darkness descends, casting shadows, leading us all astray. July 4th, a celebration of independence won, a triumph of freedom, a battle hard fought, long done. But as the years pass, the meanings erode, and the essence of liberty quietly implodes. Injustice prevails as division grows wide. Equality falters on a precarious tide. The promise of liberty, equality, and justice for all fades like a memory, a forgotten call. Corruption runs rampant within the nation's halls, as power and greed erect no mighty walls. Lobbyists sway while the people's voices wane, a democracy weakened, shackled in chains. The voice of the people once strong and clear, now drowned in apathy, whispers of fear. As falsehoods spread like wildfire's wrath, the truth is lost on an uncertain path. The spirit of unity once fiercely upheld, now fractured and fragile, as truths we held are now dispelled. Divisiveness triumphs, it's tearing us all apart. A nation divided, a severely wounded heart. On this final 4th of July, let's take a pause to reflect our nation, our actions to mend our flaws, to reignite our nation's flame that once burned bright, and strive for that future, that one that's just right. Let's reclaim those values that made us great. Equality, justice, and sanity, let's reinstate. For the soul of America, I hope it's not too late to rewrite our history, to change our destiny, and our final fate. July 4th, a final reminder of what could have been, a celebration tarnished, a fading gleam we have seen. But with hope and determination, we can restore the great spirit of America like never before. Oh, America, embrace your last birthday as a call to action, a hopeful display. Let's build back our nation where freedom did thrive and ensure that on this day, our hope will survive. So we can come together hand in hand and reclaim the promise of this beloved land. July 4th, of a reminder of what can be a united America, again, maybe strong and free. So Biden did an interview and his speech was so clear. I trusted Putin's unknown war against Iraq, according to Biden, did appear. If Biden can't figure out what country is indeed at war, how will we know who to attack when a country is attacked at its core? Biden left $88 billion of weapons for Afghanistan when we fled. I wonder how many of those weapons Ukraine could use to make its enemy dead. But instead, I hope someone is checking where our billions in weapons are now going. If we let Biden send them to Iraq, America's stupidity again will surely be showing. Then yesterday, so much of unity we got promised, the radicals' left's heads were exploding for no reason, let's be honest. For the reasons that the Constitution's 14th Amendment clearly stated, racism to cure racism, bad. This is the insanity that we have awaited. Biden claimed that the Supreme Court is not normal. Coming from him, doesn't seem to be too formal. It was funny to see the left going crazy with the decision. Don't count Harvard out yet. They'll figure it out, a way to continue the division. Diversity and equity are simply not the same. We only have the liberals for this confusion. They are to blame. No need the progressive claims for mediocrity to exist. Let's create more idiots. Let intelligence in America cease and desist. When idiocracy comes to full fruition, the Democrats will enjoy more of their crazy policies on America they will deploy. We can't let this continue. We must stand up and resist. If we don't take a stand, America's future may cease to exist. But the funny things Joe says every day will set America back in each and every way. Can I now get the Hunter Biden treatment and use this for my client's defense? Once the statute of limitations has expired, any criminal charges are all past tense. That all men are created equal. Joe is not the Constitution. If we let him stay 4 more years, there may be no possible solution. Now this is a fact that we all have to laugh at. The only president who is not a descendant of slave owners was, that's right, Trump. That's a fact. Ah, the no-tier of justice system, it's broken down except for Trump. We the American people are being played by our government as a chump. There's simply no answer. Truth has gone up in smoke. To say there is truth and justice coming from government is just a cruel joke. We got sold. There would be calm after Trump, the times we could enjoy. Instead, we got Biden from his basement, and chaos worse than that he did deploy. I'm sorry to say we got played and bought the whole enchilada. Maybe next week Biden will think Putin invaded Grenada. Where has sanity gone? I just don't understand. This is not the country I knew, destruction of America. They should not have planned. Our southern border wide open, it certainly is now. Our president to close it, he or she must take a vow. The scandals plaguing our presidential candidates are sad. For America, I will be rooting for it to survive. If it does, I will be glad. So Tyrus last night said something brilliant again, just like Ike. He said, doesn't matter where your roots are. It matters what your flowers look like. Racism in this country is fading like cheap jeans. America's got this, and the Supreme Court clearly recognized what it means. No more condemn, separate, and tear us apart. We are now no longer allowed to be defined by race only, but by our heart. As we come to the close of Rhyme Time this week, I can't believe we could get this ignorant to think people are just the color streak. Now scandals begin to loom large for the Biden family, I see. But could this be the end of Joe? Could this really be? I can't tell who is happier, be it the Republicans or the Dems, at this time. The left will keep whining about this, while the feeble Republicans, oops, I can't find the right word to rhyme. This is just astounding what this country is going through now. Sorry, we're at the end of Rhyme Time. I think next life, I want to be Biden's cash cow. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm telling you, you know, we see the 4th of July coming up this week on a Tuesday. It's kind of weird. But a lot of people are going to try to get out of town through using the Pete Buttigieg plane system, FAA system, rail system. And you know what? Unfortunately, like the rest of us who, some of us voted for Biden, some of us didn't, we are disappointed again. Well, I don't know, 28,000 delayed flights, 6,000 canceled. What the heck? Not enough FAA air controllers. Who needs control in the air, right? We don't need that. Get rid of the police, get rid of the FAA. Everything should be fine according to Biden world. You know, I look at this country and I see the 4th of July coming up again. And interesting to note, California is canceling fireworks because the remnants from the fireworks would land in the waterways. So they want to cancel everything that people enjoy on the 4th of July. Remember that? Remember rockets, red glare, something like that? The bombs bursting in air gave proof through the night that our flag was still there? Well, I bet a lot of you don't know what that saying is from. Well, hey, figure it out. Go look it up, because I'm not going to tell you if you don't know. But here's the point. California, you're so brilliant. You're just absolutely Newsom. You are amazing. You are the catalyst for intelligence. But here's the problem I see. You want to cancel the fireworks that you won't let people do, and you gave them the ability to stop doing fireworks so that you would put on the show. Here's an interesting point. Why don't you pick up your junk that falls after? Gee, that's a nice thinking, huh? Look at that. Pick up the stuff out of the water. Send out a crew. You got homeless all over the place. You got unemployment all over the place over there. Go send some people out in boats. Let them pick up the stuff after the fireworks. And I'm sure if you put the word out, people would volunteer. But let me get back to what I really wanted to talk about today. The whistleblower, the winds are changing. Well, we heard from a Gary Shipley this week, 14-year veteran IRS investigator. Well, he had some interesting stuff to say. But yet, now all of a sudden, the Democrats and the guys in the blue sneakers, I won't call them Democrats anymore, I'm going to call them blue sneaker guys, and the Republicans are the red sneaker guys. A brilliant person I know came up with that terminology, and I'm going to stick with it. So the blue sneaker guys loved whistleblowers. Oh, my goodness. Every whistleblower must be believed. All these people that came out against Trump, against anyone who had a red sneaker on, they were had to be believed. They're amazing, fantastic people. You can't doubt their word. But all of a sudden, a couple of whistleblowers come out and point out that, allegedly, and I have to still use that term until a conviction, Biden may have done something wrong, and the DOJ helped him. Yeah, Merrick Garland and Weiss, yeah, they all helped him. So here's what Mr. Shapley said, and I took the quote. It says, we have to make sure as a special agent for the IRS criminal investigation that we treat every single person exactly the same. A 14-year veteran of the agency, he spoke exclusively to CBS News chief investigative correspondent Jim Axelrod on Tuesday. And that just simply didn't happen here. Now, you would be amazed at the amount of media coverage that this would have gotten if the guy in the White House was the name Trump. But because it was Biden, this was never heard. The story that will be never heard. This is kind of, the accusations here are absolutely just terrorizing. Because if they are true, and if they are real, then this is the defunct government that we have. And our government has become corrupt and dysfunctional. I'm talking about, listen, normally it's corrupt and dysfunctional. And I understand that. It's government. You know, there was the brilliant statement once said that said, if government is the answer, then the question is stupid. And I still agree with that. But if this allegation and these allegations, and apparently supported by simultaneous documents, and there's now apparently recordings out there, if this is true, this is incredible. This is absolutely incredible. And interesting enough, from 2004, Hunter apparently didn't declare $400,000 worth of income, which is approximately $150,000 in taxes. I can assure you that if me, you, or any of my listeners out there did this, guess where they'd be? They'd be in the pokey. Yep. Inevitably. Not even a question. Now, they now claim that Hunter was in a drug-induced state. Well, it's kind of interesting that a drug-induced state makes you smarter, makes you amazingly brilliant, where you can set up sham companies and literally pay the fee that you're requesting to another company and then have that company loan you the money so it doesn't go in as income. It goes as a loan. It's brilliant. Why didn't I think of it? I don't know. Maybe I'm not doing enough drugs. I'm not doing any drugs. Maybe I should start. But this is the problem with this country. Don't talk to me about racism, and I'll get into that a little later on. But you have an economic racism in this country that we're not even talking about. Okay, the elite people in Washington and on the Northeast and on the California coasts, those people get away with things every single day that you and I would be criminalized for. But because they're elites, it's okay. But that's, I'll pick that up a little bit. But I wanted to get into the subway terror tube again. Back to Daniel Penny. Daniel Penny was back in court on Wednesday. I don't want to forget about him, the Marine who basically defended the other people and stopped this guy from either substantially doing harm or even killing somebody in the subway. I mean, after 42 arrests, you think something should be done? Duh. That would become a lock in anywhere else except for New York City. 42 arrests, and that's okay. So the guy now went in and he was charged, okay. He's charged with the manslaughter. And what happened is he's now been arraigned. Okay. And now New York City's saying, hey, we have more video. Well, that's great. That's fantastic. We have video of everybody. So what did you see in the video? I saw something on the video that said this guy was a hero. Who else saw that? I bet every other subway rider that rides the subway or rides some train in the middle of the night. The insanity of New York City is they let this guy go after 42 arrests. But here's now New York's main pet peeve right now. This is what they're going after. Now they're chasing and shutting down wood-burning and coal-fired pizza ovens in New York City. You can't make this stuff up. You really can't. You know, if not for New York City and Alvin Bragg and you know, Mayor Adams, boy, I'd have a lot of searching to do for stuff for the show. But I got to tell you, there are 300 felonies so far, assaults in the subway. And they're chasing pizza ovens. That's just bizarre. The insanity behind this. But this is your government. You voted for them. And it happens in every one of these major cities. Every time a Democratic city, you vote again for a Democrat. But here's the interesting twist to this, which is why I bring up Daniel Penny again. For those of you who didn't know, not that it matters to me or you, because my audience is not racist, Daniel Penny was a white Marine. Okay? Now, interesting enough, this week, June 29th, charges against Jordan Williams, another subway hero, were dropped. He was charged with fatally stabbing a 36-year-old homeless man on the subway, if you don't remember. He was charged with manslaughter and criminal possession of a weapon on a subway train. But the DA in Brooklyn initially, well, they asked for $100,000 in bail, and the judge said no. He said no. He thinks he's going to defend this case. But the hero here was black. Jordan Williams was black, and the defendant was black. In the Daniel Penny case, Daniel Penny was white, and the defendant, well, actually, Daniel Penny was white, and the guy who was murdered or killed, or he was black. I don't see much of a difference here, except for the clear, just blaring fact. Is this racism, or is this just brag? Is he as left-wing and progressive as he claims to be? Remember, he's a George Soros political puppet. So where's the? This is political motivated. This is motivation by politics. This is not the way the criminal justice system is supposed to act. And just the fact that Bragg charged him first and then went to the grand jury was just ridiculous. So I'm going to jump out, and now we're going to take that up, and we're going to follow that story because I think that story is very important, and I really want to keep on that. So here's my favorite. The FAA and the airlines can't play. Oh, my favorite, Dr. Pete Buttigieg, known as Pothole Pete, your transportation secretary, better known as, you get it. Can't get it on time, can't get the planes off the ground, the trains are falling off the track. I understand it's not all Pete's fault, but you know what? You've been there 2 years. What are you doing, Pete? Okay? You had that 28,000 flights canceled. And 2,000 canceled, 28,000 delayed. I take that back. By the end of the weekend, it might be 28,000 canceled. Well, call it what you want. Maybe we should call it Bidenomics. You know, the airlines are blaming the FAA for lack of staffing. No air traffic controllers. FAA is blaming the airlines, and the airlines are blaming the FAA. But nothing's getting done. So what do? You sit there. There are people. They are lined the airport in Colorado with cots. That should tell you right off the bat something's wrong. But we're busy doing other things. We're busy sending Randy Weingartner over to Ukraine. Well, our education system falls apart, but she's over in Ukraine. You know what? Maybe she should stay there. Maybe that would improve it. So now we have the claim this week of the famous Bidenomics, building the economy from the middle out and the bottom up. Well, I got to tell you, when you put the bag on the Bidenomics, I'm going to pick it up right after this break. Stand by. You're going to love it.
Start taking back our country from the liberal wokes by voting locally for conservative Republicans.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
Veteran-owned, America's Web Radio would like to thank all of our incredible patrons. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. If you are not already a patron, you can help us continue to produce some of the most informative and entertaining shows on the internet by becoming a patron. Patrons of America's Web Radio are the first to receive information about new shows and links to the latest podcast episodes. Join now and receive a free gift while supplies last. For more information and to join our family, please visit www.patreon.com/americaswebradio. If you have questions, contact us at gm@americaswebradio.com. And as always, thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back with Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark. So right before the break, we were going to talk to you about the bag of Biden economics. You know, I took a look at the numbers, and I was kind of concerned that maybe Joe doesn't understand economics or doesn't understand what economics, improving economics, should be doing. And that's maybe something I'm going to point that out. You know, he talks about building from the middle out. Joe, I think if you look at America as a bag, the bag's broken. Let's see. I was looking for the positive points here. And unfortunately, I could not find any, surprisingly. I know. Very surprising here. Well, let's see. Building in the economy. Credit card debts are up tremendously. Interest rates on credit cards. What used to be called usury at 22%, 17%. It's absurd. That's what the interest rates are now. Then tack on 8 or 9% inflation. People. Bidenomics people. We're losing money every minute. You ever look at the cost of buying something these days? Go back. This is what I would say. Go back and take a look at your receipts from last year for things that you bought. And then go and take a look at what you're buying this year. And tell me, how's that Bidenomics working for you? You know, listen, you could put lipstick on a pig. It doesn't make it a pony, okay? It just doesn't happen. This is ridiculous. The fact that they keep saying it's great, the economy is fantastic, it's booming back. And by the way, Joe, the 12 million jobs that you claim that you created, 11 million of them disappeared during the stupid pandemic lockdown. Okay? So stop telling me you created 12 million jobs. You just barely created enough to keep the economy just humming along at zero. You know, when you kept telling us, well, inflation's at zero. No. If inflation's at 8% this month and last month, that's not zero inflation. Is that Biden's economics mathematicians? Well, I can't tell you. I can't understand. It's fascinating, his world. It really is. It's fascinating, his world. So I looked at some of the stuff. All right, so no tripping or falling this week. Stumbling over his own tongue doesn't count. But he actually went around and touted how amazing the economy was. That was just phenomenal. So he wants you to forget about facts. He wants you to forget about facts when he came into office when America was energy independent. Remember what that meant? Energy independent. We were even exporting lots of oil, and we were taking in very little from foreign sources. But here's where we go. So you had an energy independent economy under Trump that was thriving prior to the pandemic, people. Okay, let's look at the real thing. He got misled, Trump. Yeah, he got the bite. He got Fauci'd, okay? So that's the deal on that. But let's look at the real numbers. Gasoline was $2 or less a gallon. It's now $4 a gallon or more. How about another, let's see, is that better? Is that better for America to double the price of gasoline? I'll leave that up to Bidenomics. Second part, inflation, was almost non-existent. I think it was like 1%. How about now? Well, it was at 9%. Well, we're making headway. It's now only at 5%. Well, unfortunately, your wages aren't going up that much, but hey, that's okay. That's under Bidenomics. Now, you had, under a booming economy with Trump, you had low credit card debt. We surpassed our all-time record of credit card debt in America under Biden. You want to brag about Bidenomics? Okay, brag. Go for it. Go for it. A now feeble economy under Biden? Crime is lower under Trump? Now it's higher under Biden. Why? Liberal progressive policies. Now, world leadership. Listen, Europe didn't like Trump. Absolutely, I agree with you. Why? Because he wanted them to pay their fair share. Oh, what was that? Fair share means something different to Biden and the Dems. I'm sorry, and the blue shoe guys. I got caught away there. So what does that mean? He doesn't even know our president. And just think about this for a second. He doesn't even know what country Vladimir Putin invaded. I don't know if a lot of you caught that. Biden actually said on Wednesday that Putin invaded Iraq. And it's not going as well as he thought it would. Well, that's because Putin's not in Iraq. He hasn't invaded Iraq. He invaded, Joe, Ukraine. That's not even a gaffe. That's just completely just, I don't know. I don't even know what. Listen, people, I always said if it walks like a duck, talks like a duck, smells like a duck, it's a duck. Okay? He's got cognitive problems. And for him to say that he's running another 4 years, he's not even running anything now. He goes out there. I saw him this week on a live interview, and he literally just walked off the stage in the middle of the interview when he thought it was over instead of waiting for the commercial break. That's just not right. There's something wrong here. You know, and I can't see anything like that. So let's talk about our next step in Bidenomics. Well, how's that border? Yeah, remember that? The southern border? And now the northern border also. So under Biden, 7 million illegal aliens so far. And billions. I don't want to get into that yet. Let's just go number to number. 7 million illegal aliens under Trump. Had he not been bogged down by the stupid left lawsuits and federal left-leaning judges and radical judges coming in and stopping him from building the wall, he would have completed it. So I got to tell you, when all these candidates say, we're going to build the wall, guess what, folks? There's going to be other left-wingers popping up, putting a damper on your parade, putting a damper on your policy. So just get used to that. That's what America does. Okay? We have left judges. We have right judges. Right judges usually don't put nationwide, you know, they just don't do it nationwide on their decisions. They really don't. But left, though, hey, they put booms. Can't build the wall anywhere. Thank you. Come back in 5 or 6 years when it gets to the Supreme Court.
Mark,
see ya. Yes.
I'd like to interject something from the discussion that we had on the doctor's show, the doctor's lounge show yesterday with Dr. Al Scheres. And this should be scaring everybody, and yet I don't think, other than America's Web Radio, have you heard anything about it. There was a little clip about the fact that there was an outbreak of malaria in Florida and one in Texas, and it was so small that they didn't rush Fossey and his mask to the scene. But it is saying something, and it's saying something very loud and clear. And every citizen in the U.S. should be banging their fists on the table demanding that wall get built and we stop the influx of people coming in here that we don't have a clue of what diseases they're bringing in. We've got polio coming in. We've got malaria coming in. We have no clue of all the different diseases that we thought we had gotten rid of.
Well, we had eradicated them in the United States.
And what's going to happen is if we think we're up the creek without a paddle today, wait until, you know, we have a... It's not just a problem with the diseases that are coming in. It's a problem with our medical system. Our medical schools,
our system,
aren't even capable of teaching up-and-coming doctors about foreign diseases and diseases that we had eradicated, like polio and so forth. And on top of that, we don't have kids wanting to become doctors anymore. We've got a shortage of doctors. We have a shortage of nurses. We have a shortage of everybody in the medical field.
Well, it's our regression to a third world country. That's what's going on. They want to destroy the United States. The blue shoes guys, that's who wants to destroy the United States, because then they can rebuild it in their own image. Remember, we came from Britain. We broke away. We had that whole giant war. Remember that, everybody? Well, no, I wasn't here either. And then we have our history of slavery and our civil rights in the 50s and 60s. But then now we want to go back to that, at least the Supreme Court, and I'll talk about that in a few minutes. The Supreme Court shut that down. Well, let's just put it this way. They shut it down on paper. In practice, it's still going to keep going. But let me run for a little bit more on this. 7 million illegal aliens. $10 billion spent so far in our schools on taking care of these illegal aliens. Oh, wait, no, it wasn't spent on our schools. It was spent on taking care of people who crossed into this country illegally. So let me ask you something. This is going to tie back into what I'm going to talk about in a few minutes about the racism decision and how that fits into this whole this disaster of what's going on right now in this country. You know, I don't know if any of you were paying attention, but Students for Fair Admissions, Inc. versus President and Fellows of Harvard College, and the sister case, if you want to call it, of the university down in, I forgot the name off the top of my head here, but it's down, I think, in North Carolina. It's one of the oldest, universities in the nation. I mean, listen, Harvard was founded in the 1600s, something like that. But what we're doing here is we are trying to give everybody in the world a place to be and call it economics. That's not economics. Bringing people here who are not going to be productive, bringing people here who are draining your system. When you're going to, you want to be like these third world countries when you want to go to the doctor and you got to wait 6 or 8 months to get in. You need an MRI for stomach cancer and you have to wait 3 months. You could be dead by then. But you see, the media doesn't want you to know about this. They don't want you. They just want you to think it's a humanitarian issue. These people are downtrodden. They need a place to be. Come to America. I agree. Let's bring in more Americans. Let's fix the immigration system. But your first act in this country shouldn't be committing a felony. Okay? And certainly felonies are being committed by our president and Mayorkas. When you transport illegal aliens, I'm going to use that phrase, illegal aliens. I know, illegal people or illegal gender, what? I don't know what they're calling it these days, but I'm going to call them illegal aliens. People who enter this country illegally, when you transport them throughout the country, you're in violation of federal laws. And I've talked about that in detail on my previous shows. That you can't do, but we're doing it. Why? Because we're ignoring federal law. So here's the real simple solution. You know, we just get back into this now. I'm going to figure out where we were. I didn't want to go to the border. I went to the border, and now I'm back. So this is Bidenomics for you, okay? Let in 7 million illegal people. Pay for everything. We got hotels in New York City packed to the rim with these people. We got veterans being displaced and thrown out of hotels because we need them for illegal aliens. I'm sorry. If you can't take care of your people first, and yeah, America is our people. We are the America. People who come here are not ahead of Americans and should never be. But here's the question. How many of these little districts like Detroit, New York City, Baltimore, our major cities the Democrats control? I use the phrase Democrat again. The blue shoe guys control. All of these places are destroyed. Their schools are failing. Their students are incompetent. And why is that? Do you think they need $10 billion that we could throw into the school system and maybe make it better? Well, I'm going to pick up the Students Fair for Admission, for Fair Admissions case in Harvard in a second. But I would say we're looking at it from the backwards, with the butt end versus the head end. Okay? So now what happens is this, the court comes out and says basically that you cannot discriminate against Asian students based on race. Now, very simply put, Harvard used as part of their decision-making process, in the final throes, by the way, a very serious race-based discrimination. It's called racism. Reverse racism is still racism. And as the court said in their decision, again, it's a 237-page decision. I haven't had a chance to analyze it yet, but from what I'm gleaning at this point, you cannot cure racism with racism. This is a very serious question and a very serious problem. So what they did here is Harvard used whether a student was African-American or not. And if they were, hey, they got bonus. They got picked up. Okay? And they got put ahead of better, well-qualified students. Now listen, anybody, they get 60,000 applicants, and I think their classes are approximately 2,000. So they have some pretty darn well-qualified people. But I can tell you one thing, and I'm going to tell you after the break. Stand by.
If you want the truth about politics, medicine, weapons, classic cars, and more, you'll want to tune in to America's Web Radio. You can listen to all of your favorite shows live at www.americaswebradio.com or on demand on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. That's www.americaswebradio.com.
Start taking back our country from the liberal wokes by voting locally for conservative Republicans.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, join me, Roger B., every Tuesday at 1400 hours right here on America's Web Radio for the Locked and Loaded Show. We will talk about guns, weapons, ammo, gun accessories, prepping, and so much more. So be sure to join us every Tuesday at 1400 or 2 p.m. for Locked and Loaded on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
And we're back. You listen to Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark. So right before the break, I was going to tell you one thing. That's it. I told you. Okay, just kidding. So back to the Harvard decision. I'll call it the Harvard decision. Racism is not good, right? Remember we fought against that in the 50s and 60s, the 20s, the 30s, and the 1900s? Remember that? We fought about that. And we said, judge not a man by the color of his skin, but by the content of his character. Remember Martin Luther King? We have a holiday. Look at that. Fantastic, brilliant individual. But we forgot what he said. So now, was it okay to do reverse discrimination and enjoy racism, the benefits of racism? Here's racism. Racism is, the problem with racism is when you lift one group up, you have to push another group down. So I don't know about you guys, and I don't know about my listeners and everybody out there, but I want the most qualified heart surgeon. I want the most qualified doctor. I want the most qualified mechanic. I want the most qualified airline pilot. The people we depend on every single day in this country, I want the most qualified. I don't want them there because they checked a box. And Biden forgot about that. Look at what's happening in his administration. His vice president checked a box. Female, black, Indian. Fantastic. That's great. What has she accomplished? Holy moly, zero. I mean, she makes some of our past vice presidents look like superstars, and they certainly were not. But let me give you a realistic view approach to racism and what this decision means. Listen, I'm more concerned about economic racism, okay? The rich always have an advantage. The poor will always be at a disadvantage. Whether it comes to education or anything else in this country, that's a reality, okay? But the idiots in charge of our education in this country, let me just say something. They're imputing their reputations of intelligence and their abilities because they have failed the American people. Why? Why did they fail the American people? Instead of going back to the basic levels of why we have discrimination, why we have to boost people up, or they're claiming we have to, okay, they decide at the end of the race, they want to solve the problem. They want to make everybody slow down to pick up that last guy in the race. Well, guess what? Real world, not like that. Real world doesn't exist like that. The race is to the end, to the finish. The first one there is the winner. Okay? You can do anything you want. You can have participation awards in the middle, but that doesn't change the absolute fact that favors rich people. That's it. It may be white rich people. There are plenty of black rich people also. But interesting, let me go back to the real numbers here, okay? White students in elementary school are now the minority in this country. Let me let that sink in. White students in America are now a minority in our schools. Okay, so what does that tell you? Does that tell you America's racist? No. It tells you minorities and everyone else in this pot are diverse, okay? And instead of embracing our diversity, we decide to cut everybody up into little piles. And that's where racism begins, okay? I am absolutely, I got to tell you, you know what the solution to Harvard's problem is or what their alleged problem is, that they can't get well-qualified black students? It's not to push them into the school where they're going to be destined for failure because they're not as qualified. Here's the better solution. But the knuckleheads and elected officials in this country can't figure it out. They want equity, not equality. They want equity. Equity is different. Equity is slowing down that fast guy to wait for the slow guy. Equality is giving people the advice and what they need to get to where they need to be. Okay? Why not take all of this $10 billion of money? And by the way, the $400 billion that just got back into the coffers of America because of the idiots in charge, Biden's student loan forgiveness program, which absolutely had no basis whatsoever in fact or in constitutional law or anything else. It was so far beyond. It was a gift for the election. But getting back to that, take that now, $500 billion that came back into your budget with the other $10 billion from spending it on illegal aliens because you're going to stop them from coming in, and put that towards our elementary schools. Our elementary schools in our cities should be the premier educational facilities of the world. We're the wealthiest country in the world. Well, I think we're the wealthiest country. We may not be anymore. But we should have schools that outperform anywhere in the world. But we're not. Our schools stink. Our competency rates are next to zero, 13%. Are you kidding me? Kids can't even read at grade level. So here's the great takeaway from this case. Don't solve the problem at the end. Harvard, you have hundreds of millions of dollars in these endowments. Why don't you take the endowments and start putting them towards the schools in Detroit? You want to help African Americans? Give that money to African American schools so they can become phenomenal schools and compete with the rich white schools. And here's another great taste of reality, school choice. Because you know what that would do, the school vouchers? That would make these failing public schools bring up their game. Because when there's no competition, remember the antitrust laws? When there's no competition, there's no need to get better. When Detroit was asked about why their schools stink, what did they say? Well, we're on par with the rest of the big cities run by the blue shoes guy. Well, guess what? Sorry, folks. That's not an acceptable answer to me. And neither should it be to you. So here we go. So Harvard, in this particular case that was just decided, they were promoting the students and letting them in, even though they were less qualified than Asian students. And they had a cap on the amount of Asian students. Now, the court basically looked at it and said, when you decide that an entire group of a ethnic background and take that blanket and throw it over them as being less personable, less qualified, that's racism. And no matter how you slice it, no matter how you couch it, it is racism. So you can't have that checkbox anymore. But I'll tell you something, Harvard's going to get around that in a heartbeat. You know what they're going to do? They're going to ask you, if you're a racially deprived group, how did that affect you and how did you overcome the racism that you experienced? Because you know what? There's a million ways to slice and dice. Remember that? So now you have coming out. This was great. This was great. This is exactly why America is failing and becoming a third world country. Justice Sonia Sotomayor, you can always count on her for something brilliant. Supreme Court Justice, she, who's supposed to be brilliant, makes this ridiculous and unsupported statement. So here we go. I quote, despite the court's unjustified exercise of power, the opinion today will serve only to highlight the court's own importance in the face of an America who cries for equality resound. What does that mean? Blah, blah, blah. You know what it means? Well, if we're not exercising and being excited about racism, then there's nothing left. How come she doesn't address the fact that our schools are failing? Why didn't she see that? Oh, because she's not as smart as she thinks she is. Okay? You want to create a system? She wants a system where everybody strives for mediocrity. That's just brilliant. Okay? I'm a white guy. We didn't grow up having hundreds of millions of dollars with private tutors, private schools. No, I went to a public school in a darn good neighborhood, I'll give you that. But you know what? I didn't have the same education that other people in higher economic, socioeconomic neighborhoods went to. I didn't have a private school, so I'm at a disadvantage. So should I be excelled? No. This is the whole problem. You can't do this. And then, of course, this week, the king and queen of racism, Barack and Michelle Obama, They came in, they said, my heart breaks for any young person out there who is wondering what your future holds and what kinds of chance will be open for them. Today is a reminder that we've got to do the work not just to enact policies that reflect our values of equity and fairness, but to truly make those values real in all our schools, workplaces, and neighborhoods. You really are trying to tell me that? Are you kidding me? You serious about that? And then we got Chuckie Schumer, the leader of the Senate. Oh, gosh, God help us, America. He gets on board and opens up his mouth, blah, 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 about nothing. The reality is that none of them, including Obama, in 8 years, ever made educational choice a primary goal of their presidency. Chuck Schumer, you want to fix this? Make schools a primary choice. Why is it not? With the people we send to the Senate, to the Congress, tell us all these things they're going to do, and then they do nothing. Why are our schools not phenomenal? Why are our schools not the premier choice of anywhere in the world? Because we want the issue for political purposes, not to solve the problem. That's the problem. Okay? And by the way, so when you say you have affirmative action, you're promoting white students ahead of minorities now because minority students are now the majority? You see how silly this sounds? But yet we're looking at it and we're saying, oh, this is a bad decision. No, it's not a bad decision. Okay? The failure of America. Gee, what could possibly go wrong here? You know, we got to really try to figure things out a little bit better. We're losing control of this country. We've lost control for the most part. But we have a lot to do. We have a lot of work to do here. Okay? The Constitution gave us a framework in which to do it. It was supposed to be limited government, not government for the people, by the people. That's what's going on right now. We need to get our government under control because they've taken possession of America as if it was their own. It's not. It's we the people. We're the guys who pay it. We're the guys who own it. And we're the guys who employ them. They don't employ us. We can't even keep the lights on in our communities, yet they're still pushing this green energy while our electrical grids are failing. They're hanging on by a thread, people. And wait till this summer when you have these high heat and it starts rolling blackouts. Hey, California, Gavin Newsom, what you doing for the electric grid there? No, you're out there yapping all over the place trying to go after DeSantis because you think Biden's going to be defunct as a president. Listen, as we approach the 4th, loyalty, honor, and allegiance to this country has to be paramount. We have to have this. Okay? You cannot take America and make it into nothing. We have been around for over 248 years. We no longer teach in school competency in reading and writing. We no longer teach in school civility to each other. We accept lying on a daily basis from our government officials. And you expect me to have faith in a program, an untested program again? Promises the moon and the stars, delivers nothing. This is Biden. This is all of them, in fact, because the Senate's run by the blue shoe guys, too. And by the way, do you think that John F. Kennedy would put up with a spy base in Cuba from China? Not on your life, folks. I'm telling you, we the people better stand up and straighten out this country because we are losing it straight away. And as July 4th approaches, I seriously fear, this could be America's last birthday. So with that happy note, go out and enjoy the 4th of July. Enjoy yourself while you still have there and your family. And wishing you all a very, very happy 4th of July. Thanks for listening to Bite of Reality with Mark the Shark.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.